Glad to have you on here. There's always a delay, and I think we're working. All right. So as you log on, if you can hear me and see everything all right, go ahead and write a little message in there. Let me know that it's all working the way it's supposed to work. I hope that each of you is doing well today and that your holiday weekend was good. Although it's a little bit weird to have holiday weekends right now because it just feels like everything is. I mean, what is a Saturday anyways? What is a weekend at this point, right? So, anyways, hope you had a great 4th of July. Hope you safely enjoyed some time with family in a socially distanced way that is completely responsible and loving towards your neighbor. But anyways, welcome to Ecclesia for anyone who might not know anything about us or might not know who we are. We're a church located in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. We are not affiliated with any particular denomination, but we typically would meet at Parkway Heights Methodist Church on Sunday nights. We will be looking before too long to figure out if there's a way to do a meet in person version of what we will still live stream to everyone who doesn't want to come in person, but in a safe way. And we'll be letting you know more about that before too long. We are here every week right now on Facebook Live, and we hope that you will join us, and we hope that you'll ask some questions and find out more about us if you're interested in knowing more about where we come from, what we do, and why we do it. We are a little bit weird, to be honest with you, but it's a good kind of weird, I think. And so if you don't have a community you're connected to, know that you are always welcome here. We will do after the service, the service. After me talking to a computer screen for the next 30 minutes or so, also known as a service in the times of pandemic, we will have the meeting on Zoom for anyone who wants to see each other's faces, catch up, see how everyone's doing. So feel free to log on to that. All the information for that should be on your emails or on your texts. And so feel free to join us for that. Also, want to real quick say for those of you that have been part of Ecclesia for a while. Our good friend who actually left for school a couple years back, and we haven't hasn't actually been in the building, I guess, for 3 years, maybe something like that, but kind of grew up in the church, Otis Burns. Otis put a video on Facebook today. It was a very kind of important big announcement from him on Facebook. And so if you haven't already seen it, don't go right now. Wait till I'm done talking. But afterwards, please go check that out and make sure you send some love his way, and we're just proud of who Otis is and what he's done in this world already and what he's going to do. And so I encourage you to go check that out. We are back in the swing of things and back into our lectionary texts this week. And so honestly, I'm only going to take kind of a part of where we're at in Matthew 11. The lectionary for this week takes this whole section of Matthew 11, and then cuts out a middle part and does two other things, and they're both great. And we may end up kind of staying here and doing the last part of it next week, but there's just a kind of this one little section I want to talk about. And what I want to talk about today is a little bit about the idea of expectations, the idea of setting up in our minds how something should work, how someone should look, how something should go, and what kind of that role that plays with us, and especially in regards to faith, because I think that's a little bit of what Jesus is talking about in these passages. Now, when I say expectations, like what are your thoughts? Are they positive? Are they negative? Do you associate positive or negative things with them? What comes to mind when you talk about having expectations? Right. I know when I think about it, the first thing I think about it. When I think of expectations, as I think high expectations, I think of someone who's hard driving, who's reaching for something, who won't settle for anything less than the best. And my first image that comes to my mind is Michael Jordan, right? And if you are at all kind of a basketball fan, and I grew up at that perfect time where Michael Jordan was, you know, I mean, was almost a deity in my life growing up. And he, I mean, I just thought he was the most incredible thing ever, right? And so they recently had a 10-part series on ESPN, one of those documentaries on they're called The Last Dance, that was about Jordan and the Bulls and them going for championships. And was 10 parts, I think an hour each part. And like I was there for all of it, right? In fact, it was such a gift during the time of COVID. That could have been 50 parts, and I would have watched all of them. And so, and part of what in seeing that and watching the Last Dance singles behind the scenes footage, you realize like how high that guy's expectations were, right? I mean, he had this very specific sense of what should be happening, how it should be happening, and how they were gonna, they needed what they needed to accomplish. And he just set this very high bar, had these high expectations. And what I walked away thinking when I watched it was, man, that's the most amazing basketball player of all time. What an amazing thing to watch what he's doing. And wow, I'm glad that he and I aren't like buddies, because he was amazing to watch play, but I am positive he probably was not all that fun to hang out with, and might have been. I mean, I don't know. You could see even why some of his old teammates talked about him. They revere him, but they're also kind of. It seemed like it was a struggle maybe to be his teammate sometime, right? And so I think about like highly successful. I think about people who set high expectations, and therefore I often kind of think about how maybe I don't do that, and some negative aspects come with that idea of expectation for me. But that's what I think about, right? And so when we think of expectations, a lot of times we think about those goals, we think about those things that we're reaching for. And as I was thinking about it and wrestling with it and how I kind of got this mixed kind of relationship with the idea of expectation, I was preparing this talk and I was trying to figure out whether or not expectations in general were like a net good or a net bad thing in my life. Like on that scale, expectation, where does it kind of fit? And there's definitely some good things that expectation have brought in my life, and there's definitely some negative things, right? And I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure if it's a net positive or negative for me. And here's what I mean by that. If I'm honest, the truth is that while expectations can be a positive force in my life, expectations have also ruined a lot of good things in my life. Shoot, I think this whole pandemic would be a breeze if I didn't have a baseline expectation of what I deserve on a day-to-day basis, right? I have these expectations of what I should be able to do, where I should be able to go, how much time I should have, who's going to teach my kid, all these kind of expectations. And COVID has managed to just destroy all of them, right? It's one of the things that's most depressing about this time is how far my day-to-day life falls short of my expectations of what I should be able to do, right? And that's how expectations have worked in my life a lot. Does anyone else like me intentionally like temper and limit their own sense of expectation just for the sake of happiness and so that you won't get let down later on? I mean, I definitely do this. If someone tells me like, "Oh, you gotta see this. This is the best movie ever. You gotta go see this movie, or this is the best book. I've never read a better book or seen a better movie or listened to a more incredible album." If someone builds something up like that, I always just try and keep my expectations down as much as I can. Because the truth is, if I let my expectations get too high, then it might be a really good album that I would otherwise enjoy, but I was expecting it to change my life. And now it's kind of, meh, because my expectation has kind of tainted everything, right? I mean, I see this, we see this with our daughter all the time, right? I mean, half of dealing with a 6-year-old is trying to work with expectation versus real life. My daughter looks at the food we put in front of her every night, and her enjoyment of the meal, I think, probably has much less to do with its actual flavor or its preparation than it has to do with her expectation when she sees it, right? We could make the most tender vittles ever concocted. But if she expects it to taste weird, if it looks funny to her, if she's not sure about it, if she sets that expectation, it's game over. It could be the most delectable thing ever made, but she's already made up her it's going to meet her expectations. Good or bad, the meal's going to meet her expectations, and there's almost no talking her out of it. Every once in a while, she'll be grossed out by something or look at something and have a low expectation and then come around and be like, "Hey, this is really good." But it's rare, right? Because there's this danger that comes where we have a certain idea of how something should look, how something should go, anything that doesn't look just or act just like that, we tend to miss the benefits of, right? That's a danger associated with our expectations. And this danger and these kind of expectations is, I think, what Jesus is getting at here in Matthew 11. And he's going to say something that's not so nice about the crowd, but I want us to kind of stand in front of it and listen to it. And there's more to this section, and we may get to it next week. But I'm in Matthew chapter 11, verses 16 through 19, and here's what it says. Jesus is speaking here. Verse 16, "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn." Some translators say, "We played a funeral dirge, and you did not mourn." Verse 18, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.'" We'll stop there for a minute. So Jesus has these kind of rough words for his original audience here. He tells his audience that they're like kids. Kids who have set their expectations on something and are missing everything good around them because of it, right? They have decided what should be on the dance card. They have decided what tune should be played and how everyone should dance to it. They have these expectations for everyone following their lead, right? They have some fixed expectation for how God will work and not work, how God will look and not look, what God will do and not do. And these expectations are so blinding that they completely misjudge the prophets and the Messiah when he's right in front of them. Right? And this is kind of a scathing indictment from Jesus here. It points to the kind of the dangerous kind of ignorance that can be born of our own stringent expectations. Right? When our expectations are too stringent, it can create just the absolute dumbest ways of looking and evaluating the world around us. Right? It's like the world's meanest magic trick that uses our own expectation of the way something should go to hide something obvious from us, right? And this is what Jesus is saying is happening with this generation, right? They think so highly of what they know. They are so stuck to how they know things should work. And they expect it to work a very certain way. And now they've stopped being able to really make sense of any of it, right? I mean, it's the height of stupidity, what Jesus is pointing out here. So if I don't eat or drink, I'm demonic. If I do eat and drink, then I'm a glutton and a drunkard and a friend of sinners, right? This is anti-logic. This makes no sense. There's no winning here. Their expectations have clouded their openness to what God is doing around them, right? And while unbending and stringent expectations might help you put on some championship rings, it can also help you miss God right in front of you. And this is what Jesus is bemoaning in this situation. Knowing the right answer ahead of time, having a fixed view of what is true and how it will look and how it will not look and how things will and will not play out is not faith. In fact, it can be a hindrance to faith. And Jesus has an alternate way of approaching this whole thing. And because listen to that next line he says, and this line to me is so important. We'll go back again. Verse 16. "But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplace and calling to one another. We played the flute, yet you did not dance. We wailed, yet you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, 'He is a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. There's no need to know all the answers ahead of time. In fact, again, predetermined expectations can maybe be even dangerous. True wisdom can be reverse engineered, right? According to what Jesus says, it's proven by its deeds. It's vindicated by its deeds. We can start at the end and work backwards, right? Wisdom is always vindicated by what it produces. Wisdom is always vindicated by what comes from it, by its deeds. Simple example. I read this yesterday, and it blew my mind. I believe this comes from July 2nd. The state of Florida population of 21 million people. A friend of mine sent me this stat. Population of 21 million people in my home state of Florida. And in one day, it had 10,109 new COVID cases. In one day, population of 21 million. That same day, this is making me feel real good about my home state. That same day, where there was 10,109 new cases and the population of 21 million in Florida, China, Japan, Korea, Vietnam, Thailand, Malaysia, Indonesia, the Philippines, Australia, and all of the European Union, with a combined population of 2.6 billion, with a B, only had 6,760 new cases of COVID. So Florida, 10,000 new cases. China, Japan, Korea, Thailand, Vietnam, Indonesia, Philippines, Australia, the entire European Union, 6,700 new cases, right? So for my home state, wisdom is vindicated, or in this case, indicted by her deeds. Very clear case here. We don't really need to have a long argument about whether the decisions that state has made are wise or not. It's vindicated or indicted by its deeds, right? Just look at the fruit. Look at what comes from it. Because God's wisdom can be identified by what it does, by what it produces. And what does God's wisdom look like? Well, the good news is Scripture has lots to say about that, right? In Proverbs 8, there's this long, beautiful poem about wisdom, and this is a feminine term that kind of associates with God that you see. Wisdom is with God in the beginning, right? And wisdom is helping to create order out of chaos, right? So wisdom creates order. Throughout the Psalms, we see things about wisdom producing reverence and humility and giving protection. But maybe one of the easiest places to look is James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. It says this in James chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by the good life that your works are done with gentleness born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come from above, but it's earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Right? So wisdom is vindicated by her deeds, and her deeds are order out of chaos, reverence, humility, gentleness, purity, peace, mercy, all the good fruits, right? If these are the results you are seeing, even if it's never how you would have expected, if these are the results you're seeing, there is true wisdom at play. This is what true wisdom, what God's wisdom brings forth in the world. And that wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. Whoever or whatever is producing these things is rooted in God's wisdom. Conversely, worldly wisdom, or devilish wisdom, which is a great phrase, devilish wisdom is judged by its deeds, and its deeds are selfish ambition, envy, boastfulness, falsehood, disorder, wickedness, partiality, hypocrisy. Some of you are thinking of specific people right now. Don't do that. Just stand in front of it. Selfish ambition, envy, boastfulness, falsehood, disorder, wickedness, partiality, hypocrisy. If these are the fruits of anything, it doesn't matter how much it seems to make sense to us. If this is what comes from it, we know they are not born from God's wisdom, from true wisdom. Whoever, whatever is producing these things lacks true wisdom. Because wisdom is vindicated by its deeds. Now, this is a gift, right? This is a gift to those of us who need a little help with this. This is a gift for those of us who want to be wise in a world with so many conflicting messages and logics and so much noise. Don't worry about having to know everything about everything and understanding it all ahead of time and knowing exactly how everything should work. Don't worry about that. Don't worry about having the correct and fixed expectation for the way the world should go. In fact, I might even submit that we shouldn't be as worried about being correct correct as we are about being wise. Does that make sense? Maybe we shouldn't be so worried about being correct and be more worried about being wise. Because if wisdom is vindicated by her deeds, might it be possible, and this maybe I'm off the reservation here, but might it be possible to be both entirely correct and unwise at the same time? Right? To maybe even have the correct answer to whatever the question might be, to the equation, you might have the right answer, but still produce envy, disorder, boastfulness, etc., right? To have the math done utterly and totally correct and lack gentleness and peace and mercy. I mean, I feel like I've done both of those things before. There's been moments when I've been correct and very unwise. I've managed to do that a lot. Maybe I'm just a special kind of sinner, right? But don't just be right, be wise. And wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. So I just want to, that's what I want to talk about tonight. I'm not going to spend any more time than that on it because this is enough for me at least to be thinking about this week. To be thinking about whether or not I am possessing and producing God's kind of wisdom in this world. Not am I right about everything, but am I being wise, right? Because you don't have to know it all. And we have this decoder ring. You can start at the end and work backwards. True wisdom will be vindicated by her deeds. Just look at the results, and you'll know what you need to know. Right? But if we don't do this, we might end up like these children, playing songs that no one is dancing to, right? Knowing very assuredly what everyone else should look like and act like and do in this world, and completely missing what God is doing right in front of our faces. Be wise. And wisdom is vindicated by her deeds. That's the thought for this week. Join us in the next few minutes on Zoom if you have the link. Call, email, send whatever questions you have. We hope you will join us again. Be safe. Peace be with you.